This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, there's a lot to talk about today, even before we get on to talking about the National Guard, which I know I promised yesterday we were going to talk about and we are going to talk about it. But first of all, onto the issue of when you change over. I'm not going to get involved in that debate, but I will talk on behalf of IDF soldiers who have an ongoing discussion about when the IDF kitchens become kosher for Pesach.
Oh, that's so
and it's always too early. It's always too early. And it never ever gets back to regular operation immediately after Pesach. And especially those soldiers who are out in the field and get battle rations, which are pre-packed for them.
Right.
They talk about eating battle rations for a month that are kosher for Pesach, like 2 weeks before and 2 weeks afterwards until they can eventually get the system working back to regular food again. So I'm guessing that IDF soldiers out in the field right now are probably already eating Pesach Dikah battle rations, and they might be eating it for another month to come still. And that's an ongoing discussion that we hear from IDF soldiers. If you know an IDF soldier who might be on battle rations, I'm sure you will be having this discussion with them at some point in the near future. I'm not sure if Louis mentioned this. I didn't hear what he had to say, but it is a very important subject, the fact that FIFA has denied Indonesia the right to host the under-20 World Cup football, which was due to take place, which is due to take place towards the end of May. And of course, the complicating factor here is Israel's participation. For those people who don't know this little fun fact, Indonesia has more Muslims in their population than any other country in the world. And they were granted the right to host the under-20 World Cup, a little complicating because Israel has qualified for the under-20 World Cup for the first time and qualified as a result of being runners-up to England in the European Cup that was played some months ago. And they did particularly well. They've got a strong team, and they are going to be represented at the under-20 World Cup, which is now not going to take place in Indonesia as of yesterday. It was literally cancelled in Indonesia yesterday. One of the main issues was Bali. Apparently, the governor of Bali was insistent that the stadium, which has been designated for the under-20 World Cup in Bali, would not host Israel. Never mind the president of Indonesia, but apparently the governor of Bali was very, very adamant. And as of yesterday, this was cancelled in Indonesia. We still don't know where it's going to take place, but apparently it will still take place at the end of May on its original dates. Currently, the favorite seems to be Argentina, even though the Argentinian team have not qualified for the under-20 World Cup. And just another little snippet overnight. Once again, and not for the first time, we're talking about this. Israel has been accused of striking near Damascus. Apparently, there were explosions overnight near to the capital of Syria. Air defenses were activated. This is the regular line that we hear from the Syrian news agency. The air defenses were activated. Many of the incoming missiles were intercepted and shot down, but with the one or two little ones that managed to somehow slip through this very, very significant security net, apparently two Syrian soldiers have been wounded and quite a lot of damage caused to unnamed facilities in Syria near to Damascus. We assume from previous experience that it has something to do with Iranian weaponry coming through Damascus, either to Syria or to be moved on to Lebanon, to Hezbollah. This is still a developing story, and we don't know too many details at the moment.
Right. Okay, let's talk about this National Guard. Give us the context here.
Well, we understand about the National Guard that this was an idea put forward by Itamar Ben-Gvir when he joined the coalition government way back when after the last election, and was apparently signed off back then by the Prime Minister as part of the coalition agreement that was put together between the Otzma Yehudit party, which is the party that Itamar Ben-Gvir heads up, and Prime Minister Netanyahu. And then it was one of those bits of information that didn't seem to be highly publicized. But when the critical moment came on Monday, when Netanyahu was speaking to Ben-Gvir and said to him, we are going to put the judicial reform on ice, at least for now, Ben-Gvir turned around and said, I am marching. I'm not staying in this coalition if that's the situation. And then as the sweetener, in order to encourage Ben-Gvir to stay into the coalition, apparently it was agreed with the Prime Minister that Ben-Gvir's idea of a National Guard would be accelerated right away immediately, that it would already be brought to the agreement of the cabinet in the next cabinet meeting, which is due to take place on the coming Sunday in another couple of days from now. And according to what Ben-Gvir has said in public over the last day or two, that he will present a plan on Sunday, which will then allow a 60-day working period and for the cabinet to approve the National Guard within 2 months from now in order for the National Guard to be implemented. What is the National Guard? Well, Ben-Gvir is talking about the National Guard focusing on what he calls Arab-Israeli crime. This is apparently the crime that he talks about in mixed Arab-Jewish cities in Israel, where there is a lot of criminality, many criminal organizations that are fighting amongst each other, and also cooperation amongst the Arab-Israeli community with terror groups from within the West Bank, from within Gaza, that are facilitating terror attacks in Israel. This is what Ben-Gvir has put forward. He thinks that the National Guard should be approximately 2,000 people. That's the number that he's mentioned. They should be fully armed. They should be what he terms alike a National Guard that so many other countries have. This is not something which is unique to Israel. This is an organization that is part of many other democratic countries around the world. And of course, he's asked for a budget which is around $300 million in order to fund the National Guard. Now, I'm going to put my view forward on this. And of course, I would very much like to hear from listeners as to what you think and Howard, what your view is. My view is that, before I put my view forward, I'd just like to make one other comment about this. And there is a discussion, an argument, a disagreement at the moment as to whether the National Guard should be a force unto itself with a direct
Well, that was going to be my question. Minister. Before you can even really give a thought on it, you have to understand where structurally where it sits.
Right.
In other words, is it Ben-Gvir's own army, or is it an army, or is it a group focused on a certain area but that reports into the whole system?
So the discussion at the moment is whether this is going to be reporting directly to the minister, and I think that is Ben-Gvir's kind of idea, that this should be a separate unit reporting directly to him, or whether it should report through Israeli police force, and that it should be a unit within the police force reporting to the police commissioner and through the police commissioner to the minister. Mm. Now, the police commissioner has already expressed his disagreement. He got many, many issues with the proposal of this National Guard. And I think that the main issue is that it probably won't be part of his police force. Let's also remember that we have this thing called the border police, Israel border police, also known as Magav, Mishmar HaGvul, which is shortened to Magav. Magav always used to be part of the army. and they were responsible for policing the borders of Israel. Recently, the Magav grouping, the Magav unit, has been moved to be under the police force. And we see them also, in addition to policing the borders, also, and when I say the borders, I really mean the border crossings, where people are crossing backwards and forwards. You always find Magav soldiers there arming those crossing points, those checkpoints. That's one of their main duties that they have. But we've also seen them in more recent times on the streets of Israel, and most notably on Sunday night when there was that massive demonstration in Jerusalem, with the demonstrators getting quite close to the personal residence of the Netanyahu family in Rehov Aza in Jerusalem. We saw the Magav unit come out and really push those protesters back away from the Netanyahu residence, even though the family were not there at the time, but really pushed them back in order to protect the prime minister's residence. And it was very notable that it was Magav, the border police force, who were doing this, and not the Israeli police. Magav, of course, are very, very identifiable in the different uniforms that they have. So my view on this National Guard is that it feels a little bit like the tail wagging the dog. It feels a little bit like we need to have a solution to keep Itamar Ben-Gvir happy, and this is a good solution that will keep him happy and in the government. What we will do with the National Guard, I'm sure we will find a use for it somehow. We've got this issue of the crime in the mixed cities. We've got so many things that we could potentially set them upon. But this is really all about keeping Itamar Ben-Gvir happy, instead of saying, we have a particular problem. How do we address that problem? The police force are currently not able to address it for one good reason or another. Maybe we need to have something called a National Guard. The reason why a National Guard would be good is because it's separate from the police, whatever the arguments are that would be put forward. That would sound to me like a much more logical argument to develop, rather than saying, let's put a National Guard together and we'll find a way to deploy them. My view.
Yeah. Yeah, it just becomes, what this does, unfortunately, is talk to people's fears. Because when we've got this concept, whether it's right or wrong, that Ben-Gvir is a little bit of a danger, he might be a right-wing fascist, and I'm not saying he is or isn't, but that is certainly the fear out there. And then you talk about having his own National Guard, brown shirts come to mind, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there is certainly a fear that this is going to be a Ben-Gvir type army, that he will have direct control over it. Because right now, in all honesty, where it comes to policing the police, then Ben-Gvir has lost a lot of his control. He tried to get very, very involved in day-to-day operational issues. The courts ruled that that is not his job. He and the Commissioner of Police don't necessarily see eye to eye, particularly on the way in which the police have handled the demonstrators. And so Ben-Gvir is currently feeling like, even though he is in charge of the police force, they're not really his police force. They're not really following the orders in the ways that he would like them to operate. And so this could potentially be his alternative.
Do you think that, well, here we go. Adam says so Itamar Ben-Gvir will have his own troop of brown shirt thugs. Charles said, isn't this just duplicating what the army and police are already doing? And that does seem to, well, doesn't it also undermine the police or the army, saying, well, you guys aren't doing a good enough job. We're going to have another unit now that's not even going to have to adhere to the same system that you guys do, because you aren't getting it right.
I think there is a grave danger of this National Guard encroaching upon areas that are currently the responsibility of the army and the police. And let's not pretend to ourselves that the police are doing a perfect job right now. There's a lot of issues within the police, a lot of accusations of corruption, many accusations that the police, for one reason or another, are not able to put their fingers on the crime that's going on within the mixed cities. A report today about the son of the deputy mayor of a city in Israel, an Arab deputy mayor, the son was killed in a crime shootout. It's the 41st Arab Israeli to have been killed in crime killings this year, which is a very, very big problem. The police have no control over it. And the crime grouping that this individual was involved with is controlled by a Jewish Israeli who happens to be in prison at the moment in Israel, but he's the guy who's controlling all of this, and many of the Arab Israelis are involved with it. So the police definitely don't have control over that, and we have an issue. We have an issue to confront, but I'm not sure that the National Guard is the answer to that in the way that it's being proposed right now.
How is it anticipated that it'll be resolved, do you think?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see exactly how the Prime Minister deals with this, because we already know that the Prime Minister has not once or twice before, but on numerous occasions, promised things to people and then for whatever reason delayed it and delayed it and delayed it and never really approved it, never allowed it to come to fruition. We also know that in the background, and I'm saying this kind of in a whisper, that the Prime Minister is also trying to get Benny Gantz into his coalition to potentially replace Ben-Gvir as a member of the governing coalition. Now, whether or not that's going to succeed is going to be very interesting. I suspect that Benny Gantz is not available to join the coalition, but we do know that there are attempts behind the scenes to get Itamar Ben-Gvir out of the coalition.
Gosh, that would change everything, wouldn't it?
That would change a great deal, of course.
It really would. It's 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you for an incredible week of reporting and a very important week in Israel's history. And we are deeply grateful that you go into it in depth every day and bring us the perspective. Have a wonderful weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. And we will, of course, chat to you on Monday.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.